You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the S E A. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the S E A.
Hello and welcome to episode 470 of the Fabulous Pelton Cast, sponsored by our friends at Pagliacci Pizza. I'm your co-host, Kevin Pelton.
And I'm Tristan Caracino.
And we're coming to you in separate locations this week. I'm in Seattle, Washington, home of the four-time WNBA champion Storm.
And I'm coming to you from Renton, Washington, home of the Super Bowl 48 champion Seattle Seahawks. You're a little sick, so I have to carry everything, just like the rest of the year.
Wow. This is my flu game. Actually, the Dunked On podcast was much more my flu game, but somehow that was easier to get through, even though it was several days ago and I was much, much sicker at that point.
So it's because you enjoyed being there more than you enjoy being here?
I think it's because it was during the middle of the day and my symptoms are worse at night. So
you elevate your skills to a different podcasting level in the Dunked On podcast?
Absolutely.
So that's why Danny LaRue leaks news to you instead of me.
All right. We'll talk about that after the pod. Let's get into our toast this week because we've got some fun ones. Starting with congratulations to Lily Wilkins. As you noted, the notes trail off after Lily Wilkins, who, because I did not have a chance because of the Portland Trail Blazers nut trade on Monday evening to finish the notes, but who will be honored with a statue outside of Climate Pledge Arena honoring his track record as player, executive, coach with the Sonics, involvement with their championship in 1979, etc. A legendary figure, no better choice for the first statue outside Climate Pledge.
I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm not a person who believes in signs and portents or anything like that. I think some people are feeling pretty confident that an NBA team is coming to Seattle if they're building a statue for Lenny Wilkins, because it'd be a little strange to have the building that they only play hockey and Billie Eilish concerts in have a Lenny Wilkins statue outside.
Well, I'm going to let you in on a little secret that I don't know if it's actually a secret or not. This will not be the only statue being unveiled this summer. There will also be another basketball statue unveiled.
Cal Raleigh.
I didn't know that Cal played basketball.
Every block in the city of Seattle.
So the timing was not necessarily...
Wait, what is the other statue? Do you know this?
Super.
Outside of Climate Pledge?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's in Seattle City Council records, so I'm not actually breaking this story. But... the Storm have not announced that as yet, so you
wow,
are getting that one.
We're breaking it right here on the Pelton Cast.
Again, not breaking it, but
was that information a little bit too interesting that you just released? Do you want to
tone it down
a little bit? Tone it down. Okay.
You know, again, it is publicly available information. Okay. It is out there on the internet, and there is a discussion on Reddit about whether I believe it was a city council member should be bragging about securing funding for statues because. And this is a very Kevin Pelton take. We shouldn't be building statues.
I mean, I guess I kind of agree with that. But
I think it's also fine. Even though I don't like it.
It's so funny. I almost did a build a Cal Raleigh statue because this half of a season is as impressive as most of the people's entire careers who have statues outside of T-Mobile Park. But Not really. It's not that I forgot Ichiro doesn't have a statue.
He will eventually, but he's going to need to do it in the war.
How much room is there for statues? Series.
I mean, there's a lot of statues at what was Staples Center.
Are there? There's some really, really good ones. But the difference is the Lakers have actually advanced past the equivalent of the ALCS.
The LA Kings have as well, and the LA Sparks for that matter.
Yeah, they have a Gretzky statue.
I'm sure they do, yes.
Who did the Kraken have a statue of? Just no statues yet.
Oh, maybe they're going to have a statue of some of the players they acquired this week. We'll talk about it in the roundup. But again, that is not the statue that's happening now. It is Lenny Wilkins.
There we go.
So, anyway, the timing of this has been in the works for a while. I don't think it is necessarily related to expansion specifically. But the Seattle Kraken are very involved with this event. There's a number of Sonics legends coming back into town to help celebrate Lenny. And that maybe does feel a little more optimistic.
This is the summer. We can feel it. We know. It's finally happening.
The listener on the Discord already knows this, but I was on Seattle Sports 710 last week to talk about expansion.
What did you say? I tried to listen to that and then I got distracted by work. So, can you summarize what you said on there?
With my single favorite Tyee High School graduate, Stacey Rost. I'm sorry, that's not fair to Chris Smith. You know, the momentum is there for
Shots at
expansion.
Steve Poole.
I don't know.
Did you talk Tyee High School?
It did not come up on this one. I
Okay.
think she's still chastened about the time when she said last time that I had gone to Tyee, and I had to point out, actually, that was my brother.
That's what I was going to say is you don't even get to speak on this issue because you went out of your way to not go to Tyee High School. Thank you.
I suppose that's true.
I mean, you weren't supposed to go to either, so I guess
Yeah,
your
yes.
allegiance didn't necessarily have to lie with Tyee, but you know, you could have been up there with one of the most successful graduates of Tyee High School.
Do you think I'd be on the Tyee Wikipedia page? Anyways,
I'd make sure you weren't.
so last week's news was the $10 billion expansion fee for the or expansion sale fee valuation for the Lakers. More great news for the Sonics. Yeah, we can't do this.
Was so good so far.
I know.
I'm gonna do.
Not dying
Hold
here.
on. I'm just gonna solo podcast.
Oh, God.
Congrats to UW pole vaulter. That's right, pole vaulter Hannah Moll, as
You
ESPN
see,
senior writer Kevin Pelton incorrectly identified her as last week, who was named the Women's Outdoor National Field Athlete of the Year by U.S. Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association on Monday, the first Husky to win the award. Hannah was the NCAA national champion as well as the Big Ten Women's Field Athlete of the Year. What an honor that ESPN senior writer Kevin Pelton couldn't even correctly identify the sport.
The Pelton cast regrets the air.
Congrats also to Cal Raleigh, who became the first switch hitter and first catcher to hit 30 home runs prior to the All-Star break with three over the weekend at Wrigley Field. I'm pretty sure that number is four, though.
I wrote that one on Saturday and then didn't update it.
You wrote that on Saturday, but you didn't factor in the home run that he was going to hit on Sunday. That doesn't seem right to me.
I didn't want to
If
jinx it.
it were me, look, there's no, we're past jinxing at this point with Cal Raleigh. The Mariners scored I wasn't watching, or no, I guess I was. They'd scored like a chunk of runs in a period of time. I guess this was yesterday after I was paying attention and I looked at it and I was like, I mean, this is amazing. Donnie Barrels is hitting homers, Canzone's hitting homers, but I'm so confused that Cal didn't hit a homer during this time period.
And then he did.
Well, no, he didn't. He had earlier already.
I see.
He led off scoring, but that he didn't hit another one was fascinating to me.
Wow.
Farewell also, the Pelton cast pours one out for a friend of the podcast.
I would like to consider him friend of podcast.
Mariners legend Rowdy
He
Tellez,
doesn't know it, but he is.
who was DFA'd on Friday when the Mariners activated power hitting Luke Raley.
Has Luke really turned the entire season around?
Luke, I'm going to give a little bit more credit to Cal and the Mariners hot takes from last week. But I it made losing Rowdy because I was a little sad about this about
Of
because I felt
course,
like
we're
Rowdy was
all a
kind of
little
putting it
sad.
together. It was sort of the timing of Solano becoming the hitter that we thought Solano could be around the exact same time. And I was nervous that they were going to send Cole Young down as well. It was kind of like, I love Rowdy. I was impressed with how much Rowdy did after the first couple of weeks when you watched him and it was just like, yeah, this isn't a professional baseball player anymore. But I think the number one thing that we have to remember about baseball is that it takes time. The
Oh,
entire sport
so
takes
much
time.
time.
So whether that's fun or not to watch, and the our expectations, like we want to see it immediately from players. Rowdy finally got there, so he'll land on a roster. I don't know if he was claimed after he was DFA'd. Was he?
I don't think it, I mean, I think it takes longer than that, doesn't it?
Rowdy is going to end somewhere, and I wouldn't be shocked. I'm going to throw this out there. If he weren't a Mariner again this year, I would not be shocked if he
A
was a
lot of
Mariner again.
so you think he might be on the Casey Lawrence plan? A
That's
lot
what
of
he
Red
likes to call
Sox
it.
talk about him.
About Rowdy to the Sox. I mean, I kind of makes sense with the short porch and right field. But honestly, just cheering for Rowdy himself. And at the very least, a very fun footnote.
Absolutely. What a remember a guy. Very
That
different than the what's Tavares' first name again?
Leody Tavares?
Yeah, I've
Oh.
already, it's already out of my memory. It was that fast.
It's crazy that he was even on the team.
That was like 10, 15 years ago, right?
That was a fun month. How do you intro this segment now? And now, without further ado.
That is not how I do it.
Sorry, sorry. And now it's time for your favorite segment.
That part you nailed.
There we go. I'm literally just going to do this podcast on my own, whether you like it or not. You're like, I'm trying to leave.
It's actually quite fun, but I do badly need to blow my nose right now.
Don't burn yourself. We got Mariners hot takes coming at you.
This year has felt like it has been a century now, but it's officially summertime. I can feel something in the air. It's not ESPN senior writer Kevin Pelton sickness. Sometimes the greatest summers happen in uncertain circumstances, the ones we talk about for generations. The summers of 67 and 69, the summer of 93, the season of record, where Junior smashed homers in eight consecutive games, the summer of 06, where Italy hoisted its most recent World Cup, and Feel Good Inc. and Crazy by Gnarls Barkley invented the modern song in the summer. Last year, we had a Brad summer, but it always felt like it was just about holding on before the pending come down. And this year, well, because of all of this, I think the thing I can feel in the air is we owe it to ourselves to have the biggest and best fucking summer of our entire lives. We have to be defiantly joyful because if there is one thing that they can't take away from us, it is our joy. And I could feel that the summer of 25 for us real people is going to be an epic one. The summer of 25 is the summer Cal Raleigh chased Aaron Judge and Barry Bonds. What once was an interesting nugget around the city of Seattle has gone national and is starting to get serious. Cal has already established himself as the greatest power hitter Seattle has seen since junior. We already know to call our friends and family members when he's up, but we're getting towards breaking into coverage territory with dingers in four straight games. There are already some junior records in sight. I won't rule out that he goes yard in another four straight because I don't believe in jinxes. But the Mariners' record before the All-Star break is in sight, and we aren't even that close to the 4th of July, let alone the MLB record before the All-Star break. He could have the catcher record by the end of July and a real chance to sniff the AL home run record or even, God forbid, Bonds. Whether he likes it or not, that man to me is the face of defiance. Just look at him. A 28-year-old from Cullowhee, North Carolina, who has never made an All-Star game, plays great defensive catcher, and is nicknamed the Big Dumper. Could be the MLB's all-time home run leader and even has nine steals to boot. And that's why we owe it to ourselves to do the most this summer. That's when I had the opportunity to stay at the Red Lion Hanford House, aka the Holiday Inn Richland on the River by IHG. That when I decided to drive to Ellensburg for a few hours to watch children's baseball. That when I decided, yeah, we should do the campfire on the sunny night over the summer. That we should go see the Mariners play the Royals on Monday. Go to Wild Waves. Go to the summer movie. Take full account of the summer reading program. Go watch the Storm play. Anything except for watching the fucking Sounders. I said yes, because this year, in the Cal Raleigh summer, we owe it to ourselves to have the best one yet. We'll always remember Cal Raleigh and the summer of 25.
I think you modulated your voice a little too much.
Sorry, this is like Wonder Years summer right now. That was the summer of 68. We are in historic territory. Just like 20 years ago, the Wonder Years looking back, which would have been 2005.
Oh God. Well, just wait till you get to things that happened in 2005 that are coming back that are going to make us feel old. We've got that later on in the podcast.
I thought we were talking about something else. I was like, that was 2003.
No, I'm fair, but no, that is not what I mean. I mean 2005 in the NBA draft that year. First off, kudos for incorporating two bits from the start of the podcast into the hot take. Well done. Second off, when I hear the song Crazy, I still think of that summer in Italy winning the World Cup out of nowhere. Those will always be linked. It'll be interesting to see if there's a song that pops up that is the song I associate with Cal Raleigh. You dispute the out of nowhere?
Yeah, no. When you expect Italy to always win the World Cup, it was out of nowhere because I paid no attention to soccer beforehand. So
Even when they don't make the World Cup?
I just assumed that Italy always won the World Cup because the ones that I remember are 94,
Oh.
98, 2006. So
Real heads remember the pain that was getting up at 6 a.m. to watch Italy France in the quarterfinals in '98 and the loss on PKs in that one.
that was
I
the
mean,
core. I thought that was in the championship.
no, they played Brazil in the championship.
France did?
Yeah, Ronaldo famously had a medical episode on the morning of the final. This is all new to you. Oh, check out the
Interesting.
Wikipedia. I've often said, I think it is like one of the wildest potential news stories in sports history that just really isn't talked about that much. Anyway.
Wilder than somebody nicknamed the Big Dumper being the all-time home run hitter
Well,
leader?
I mean, I just don't even want to speak about what the equivalent would be involving Cal Raleigh in Game 7 of the World Series. I just like.
We know he's already made for the moment. Kyle Raleigh's already done it. I
Yeah,
just.
your point is Cal Raleigh wouldn't even need 7 games of the World Series.
Yeah.
He'd get it done
This
in
team's
four.
gotten all the way to 40 and 37.
That is the funny part. The vibes are so different, and the record is not that much different. But I mean, yeah, I'm curious to see what is going to be the cultural thing from this summer that we associate with Cal Raleigh's huge season. Because that
It's
hasn't happened
probably,
yet.
oh, you're saying like beyond this? I was going to say
Well,
for me, it
if
would be
there's
the
a
home
song,
runs, but.
no, I'm saying there's got to be some unrelated cultural event that when you think of, you put it together.
Do you have a song right now?
No.
Oh, I thought you were saying that you did.
No, I'm just saying I'm very curious to see what it might be. I don't know if there is for like Griffey's 8 home runs in '93 necessarily, but
It's
there
like
are
it's an
other eras.
anachronistic thing where it's like hypnotized by Biggie, but it actually was 2 years later. But we just remember it happening
Quad
then.
City DJs The Train was the soundtrack to the summer of '95. So that does fit with the Miracle Mariners in '95.
There we go. Come on and ride it. Beyond that, for the Mariners, going into Chicago, I know that they lost the last game after we podcasted against Boston, but going into Chicago, winning 2 of 3 against a very good Cubs team. To me, felt like, and scoring a bunch of runs there. Like this
It's all of
team,
the runs.
it's funny because,
Like,
like, you look at it.
you look at it, and if this team could finally get a pitching staff to go with these hitters,
Oh, well,
we've
I'll
been
come back
saying
to
it
that in
for
a
so
second.
long.
But the thing is, like, they go to these places. The Mariners hit really well in the Midwest. Let me just say.
I wanted to consider the geography before specifying, and I determined I landed on it's NFC North country.
There we go. That's where the Mariners hit well.
Yes.
Just wait till they play the Packers. I own you. But the Mariners play very well in NFC North country. They hit very well. And to me, it was kind of like it's one of those things. I was talking to Luke about this. Like they're playing a tournament older and it's going to be a wood bat tournament. And he was like, we're not going to get any hits.
By the way, weirdly, the White Sox are not NFC North country, but the Bears or the
The
Cubs
Cubs.
are. I don't know how that works, even because I'm pretty sure that
They're.
Wrigley Field is closer to or farther from Soldier Field than New Comiskey.
The. But I was like, they have the same rules. Like, if you're on the 80 feet bases, if you're using wood bats, the other team is also doing those things. It's not like you're isolated to rules that apply to you and don't apply to them. So the Mariners hitting well in Chicago and scoring these 14 runs, the Cubs were playing in the same setting as the Mariners were. And they've consistently played in that same setting. So the Mariners hitting well is still an impressive thing for this Mariners lineup to have done in this situation. Also, just thinking about Cal Raleigh, to be in the place that he's in and play regularly at T-Mobile Park, and especially in the beginning of the season at T-Mobile Park, he deserves like an extra 4 home runs because of that.
Your math checks out. I
Yeah, if we're
endorse.
awarding honorary home runs.
Yeah.
But I think this series, And then the first game against the Twins are reeling right now, but like the first game against the Twins, how well the Mariners hit in that game again. Where okay, this is the NFC North country because they're now playing Vikings territory. Yeah, okay, just we got to get to the Brewers.
Well, because I wanted to call it Upper Midwest, but I assumed that I was going to get it wrong somehow on Pelton
Uh,
County
so,
Geography.
but
I'm
you were
already
going
chasing.
to be criticized.
Because on the Dunked On Basketball podcast, there was some actual Pelton County Geography where I referred to Jeremy Sohan going back to Dallas because he had played at Baylor, and Nate Duncan had to point out that Waco was an hour and a half from Dallas, which is
There we
definitely way
go.
further than I realized. So I'd love to bring Pelton County Geography to other pods.
There it is. But the hitting in particular in that series, I do have some sad news. Mariners are down to five aces again.
Oh no.
Emerson Hancock has been stripped of ace status for the time being.
I like that this is almost like, and maybe we shouldn't be talking about this now, but it's like DEFCON status where it's flipping back and forth.
The minutes close to midnight or whatever, where it's like we're now at 11:59 and 59 seconds. The Mariners are at five aces, unfortunately, and one of them isn't even in the majors. So it's complicated. I think if they could, I think if you asked the Mariners if options weren't a thing and if age wasn't a thing, who they would rather have pitching in the majors, I think Logan Evans is the pitcher
Wait, what do
over
you mean?
Hancock.
They've
Is
already
Evans?
used Hancock's year option. We went over this last year. The options are not number of times back and forth. It's just a year. So he has
So
already been sent down this season. They've already
Hancock
activated the
has.
option year. They can
Oh, I
send
thought it
him
was
back down
amount
at
of
any
times.
time. No.
Oh, interesting. Then they probably, that's what I was thinking, is Hancock's older also though. So they basically like the clock on Hancock.
I don't know when they
Like,
last set Evans down. You have to spend a certain amount of time in the minors before
it's
you
been a
can come
while
back
though.
up,
He's been
but
down for a
I don't
while.
think that's the reason.
I think the clock on Hancock is like they need to figure it out right now. He doesn't have, I mean, on he's a baseball pitcher. He could wait until he's 30 and figure it out then. But like for the Mariners in this particular iteration, they are invested in Emerson Hancock becoming a very good pitcher.
Yeah.
It was hot. The wind was blowing out in Chicago, but the rest of the staff managed to deal with it, and Emerson Hancock didn't. In the same way that like the
Yeah, but you know who
circumstances
didn't
are the
manage to
same for
deal
both
with
teams.
it? The Cubs.
That's fine. This is just for demoting Hancock from a status specifically. But who did deal with those circumstances are Dominic Canzone right
Oh.
here. The amount of times I made this hand motion, you know which one I'm making, through the podcast, the amount of times I made that hand motion over the weekend was innumerable. Canzone, I kept saying this when they called him up. It was just like, what are we doing with Leody Taveras when we've got a perfectly good, the only thing that made me sad about it was seeing how good Haggerty is playing in Texas. They could have had them both. It hurts. I think the Mariners lost a game like 2-0, and then Haggerty, this might have been last Wednesday, I want to say, Haggerty just like led off the game with a triple for the Rangers. And I was like, are you even Italian, Jerry Dipoto?
Wow.
Emerson Hancock might not be the only person stripped of status
He's
this week.
OPSing 790. Wow.
Because Jerry might be losing some Italian status right here, right now. He's lucky, though. He's lucky right now with Canzone and
And
how
Miles
well Canzone's
Mastroboni
playing.
also had a nice game on that was Sunday, right?
But that getting Solano to have figured it out, again, it took time for Solano, but like you do have to give the Mariners some credit for that and sticking with him throughout this time period. If they're at June with this lineup, I don't, what is WRC plus at, fifth in the league, something like that?
I have not looked that up, but
I
let
mean,
me do it while you talk.
this team and this lineup right now, I said it last week, like it wasn't just a hot take. I believe so much in this Mariners team.
Do you still believe in them winning the AL West? Because the Astros seem to be pretty good too.
I firmly believe in them winning the AL West. The Astros are at the point you get kind of hot, but that means you're just about to have your like 2-8 in your last 10 coming.
Okay. They are, in fact, fifth in WRC plus.
The Mariners have already had their swoon right now, and the Astros haven't had that. So to me, I think obviously like play, I feel more confident in playoffs, but the Astros are just about to have that. I don't know if it's quite as repeatable for the Astros as it is for the Mariners right now. The underlying roster is just stronger for the Mariners.
FanGraphs does have them at 24% to win the West, 62% to make the playoffs.
But the Julio homer that he laced earlier today,
Kind of went down and got it. Golf clubbed it almost.
and also the defense that Julio played in Chicago, dealing with a bunch of wind out there. There was a play that he made in Minnesota as well. Julio plays great defense in NFC North territory as well.
And Pete Crow Armstrong apparently does not.
Yeah, no idea.
It
Lost
was
out
very
there.
much like the Mariners, the Seahawks in the rain, the Cubs in the wind.
I just felt, left that series so encouraged about the team overall, even beyond Kyle, where it's kind of like all we needed was a little bit of something else from everyone else. And instead, we got a lot bit of something else from everyone else. But I think the thing that will last is if they're getting the bits from Solano and a handful of homers from Canzone, JP's played really well. Like you look at the roster, the lineup top to bottom, all of a sudden through this prism, and you're like, I have to say to myself, this roster, aside from the one non-ace on it, no holes.
I feel like the lesson we took a lot from the 2023 Rangers, like having seen them at the end of that season in a game the Rangers won,
The World Series winning 2023 Rangers.
and then them going on to win the World Series, that lineup just seemed so deep. It felt like there was kind of no exit, there was no soft spot. And then like the Rangers, they're not that. They have not been that the last couple of years. Like it's such a, and Mitch Garver, who is part of that, such a deep lineup, comes to the Mariners and is not part of a deep lineup. It's like such a thin line between a deep road, a
I mean,
deep
the
lineup
Mariners
and a
2 weeks
not-deep one.
ago, you wouldn't have said this about, right?
No,
You would
exactly.
have looked at the
That's what I'm
Mariners.
saying, is it happens that fast.
It does happen that fast. Also, this is, like the WRC plus is not a it is not a lie what's happening right now with the lineup overall. There are going to be times when they're good and they're bad, but like the underlying
Stay
stats
the
are
course.
good. This isn't just they're getting lucky in this moment. Obviously, Cal is having a historic season beyond that, but like we're not even talking about Cal. If the rest of the hitters hit the way that they have anywhere close to it, the way that they have in the last week, they don't need Cal to be doing what he's doing. They don't have to score 8-14 runs a game. The pitching staff is going to get better. Again, there's no doubt in my mind, like Kirby still hasn't settled in. Logan Gilbert came back and it was instant. Logan Gilbert's he's the ace. He's number one,
It
without a
did
doubt.
it in Chicago with the wind blowing out. I mean, it
But
wasn't as extreme on Sunday, but.
Kirby is going to settle in. He's going to have a month where he wins all four games in that month if there's any sort of run support. And that's kind of the last piece to get locked in for the Mariners. And then figuring out who that fifth starter is, whether it is Hancock, Evans, whether Bryce, I feel like Bryce Miller's not coming back this year, but whatever that looks like. And this is still, I think they're kind of like, and with Luke Raley coming back, I didn't even really mention that, but how well Luke Raley is
I
hit.
mean, we started off with that in the toast, right?
I mean, he hit the bomb earlier today and I was like, the game's over, right? They're in the second inning right now. And that's it. It's ball game. Maybe it's the third inning that they scored all those runs, but
Yes, they were scoreless the first two. And then they were not scoreless.
I just, it's a four game sweep incoming against the Twins.
Okay. That
Yeah.
confident.
Oh, yeah. That confident. Have I ever not been that confident? But
All right, this is where you ask anything else on the Mariners?
anything else in the Mariners?
No, I can barely talk. I can't wait to hear the roundup, though.
Were setting
I'm
me up
gonna,
for.
I mean, I'm not actually gonna hear the roundup. I'm gonna go blow my nose because, again, that's the way this has to go, right?
Hold on. Okay, as we head to the roundup.
That's not what I sound like.
What do you sound like? What do you say?
Time for the roundup.
All right, time for the roundup. My favorite section of the podcast. I love paying attention during starting with the Kraken. Jason Botterill began reshaping a person. Jason Botterill is the coach or GM of the
GM,
Kraken.
GM. Yeah, I
Began.
don't think I mentioned this on the pod. Lane Lambert, I saw him in person at the Storm Lynx game a couple weeks
Wow, Lane
ago.
Lambert, that's a
Head coach.
head coach of the Kraken.
Not as tall as you would think. He's listed at
Wow.
5'10".
What are you, a person on Tinder? Like,
I don't know. What's my
you didn't
takeaway?
swipe on. Wait, what was the name again?
Lane Lambert, a lovely head of
Lane
hair.
Lambert.
I would
Okay.
swipe.
All right, fine. You're like a, you couldn't even post the TikTok meme. 6'4", progressive. Jason Botterill began reshaping the roster in earnest with a pair of trades. First, sent third and fourth round picks to Dallas, the Stars. I'm just joking. This one. For winger Mason Marchant, then flipped winger
Marchment.
Andre Marchmont, then flipped winger Andre Burakovsky to Chicago for Joe
Burakovsky. We're working through it.
for center Joe Valeno.
He's been here. He was here for 3 seasons, I think. Burakovsky.
Was he really?
Believe so. Maybe two, but I think three.
The combination of those deals is essentially a challenge trade on the wing. Burakovsky, who's been here for 3 seasons, totaled just 17 goals and 53 points over the last 2 seasons. Marchment, by contrast, had 22 goals each of the last 2 seasons and averaged 50 points. He's also got a cap hit $1 million less and the Kraken get out of the final season of Burakovsky's contract. Valeno, who went from Detroit to Chicago at the trade deadline, offers some center depth, has averaged 23.5 points over 4 full NHL seasons, and makes just $2.275 million in his final contract. Most importantly, he is Italian and speaks Italian. Amusingly, grew up in Kirkland, Quebec, which is a place that I've learned of. Maybe there's a Peter
Wait,
Kirk there too.
it was not Peter Kirk. It was somebody named Kirkland, as it turns out. When you think of Quebec, when you think of French speaking, obviously you think of Kirkland.
There we go.
Do you think they love Kirkland's signature? Do you think they think there that Kirkland's signature is for their Kirkland? Unclear.
I don't know if I love Kirkland's
Although I guess
signature.
it's.
I was going to say, because to me, I'm like, Kirkland's the only thing I like about Kirkland's signature. This is where I'm more in my element than talking about Kraken. Is,
Is so anywhere, but especially Costco, yes.
but I love when people don't know that Costco is from Seattle and you can educate them on it. And it's like, oh no, this is Kirkland, Washington. That's what the Kirkland signature is for. Because there are people nationally who have no idea. At the same time, Kirkland's fine.
Oh, what are you talking about? Kirkland is such a great brand.
No. Kirkland, I'm talking about the city of
Oh, okay.
Kirkland.
Oh, okay.
I was like, wow, big Kirkland over here, you yuppie, all of a sudden.
I believe I had a lovely dinner in Kirkland. It was my first time there in many years, earlier this year.
I mean, there'll always be the Spud fish and chips.
By the way, I looked up Kirkland Signature, the translation into French Canadian on Google. You'll never believe it.
Kirkland signature.
No, Signature de Kirkland.
Oh, there we go. Signature de Kirkland.
There you go. That's what they call it in Kirkland, Quebec.
There's somebody who is like, what is that in French? And I was like, voulez-vous coucher avec moi?
Are the
I took
dumbest.
3 years of French. Are no French names, that's why I couldn't pronounce them.
I'm sure you would have, but I did typo Marchment on the MENT on the note. So I my bad on that one.
It's Marchmint, not
Yes,
Marchmont.
Marchment. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for clearing that up. All right, we'll be skipping the sounder section.
Wait, hold on. I mean, we're not going to skip the sounder section. We're going to do that, but
was a joke. Or was it?
you did skip the last part of the Kraken section, but I also want to know, I
Oh, yeah,
mean,
no, I wanted to get there.
these seem like a good pair of trades by the sound by the Kraken. Jason Botterill off to a nice start as GM.
There we go. Dynamite dropping. The NHL draft is Friday. Kraken have the 8th pick in the draft. Who do you expect the Kraken to select with the 8th
Yeah,
pick?
that's a great question. No, it's a great question.
I assume that you've been up on the NHL draft Reddit mock drafts. Does ESPN do an NHL mock draft?
They
They
do.
must. They
Yeah.
must.
I
Who do
but
they
it
have?
would just be a name. I didn't even bother looking it up. We'll talk about them
Wow.
when they draft
It
someone.
would just be a name?
How would I know whether that's a good pick or a bad pick? How would I evaluate it?
You would trust the senior writers clearly at ESPN with
The
their
point is not that
perspective
I
on.
don't trust them. It's that, like, that player might not be available. Like, what? It just means nothing to me. It's just words. Me looking at an NHL mock draft is like a large language model looking at it.
Is Dylan Harper going number two? Is that,
Yes.
what do we think? Who has the second pick?
The Spurs.
Oh man, I like Harper.
What's not to like?
Two teams from Texas and also in the Western Conference at 1-2. It's just like,
What are we doing here?
it's wild. Okay, Kevin's gone, so now we can do the Sounder section the way I want to do it. Not at all. Since we last chatted last week, the Sounders played a couple of matches in the Club World Cup. First, last Thursday was a 3-1 loss versus Atletico Madrid. They went behind in the 11th minute and were lucky it wasn't worse given opportunities Atletico offense unlocked. Still 1-0 at the break before halftime when sub Axel Witsel scored 2 minutes after coming on. Albert Rusnak pulled the Sounders back into the game with a goal in the 50th minute, but Pablo Barrios netted his second of the day 5 minutes later, and that was that. Sounders created 17 shots, 4 on goal, but struggled defensively against Atletico. Later, because of Botafogo's upset of PSG, meant that Sounders were still technically alive heading into the final game of group play. They held their own earlier today in an impressive performance, but a deflected goal gave PSG the lead late in the first half. They added a more deserved goal in the 66th minute, and the Sounders threatened late but couldn't find the net. Jordan Morris got back on the pitch for the final few minutes, his first game action since April, and they've now been eliminated from the Club World Cup. Honestly, did you expect anything else? Then there's a note on here about the Sounders in 2009 versus Barcelona. They were outshot 25 to 4, 11 to 1 in terms of shots on goal. I assume this is noting something about how the team has evolved since 2009 to now. But at the same time, in the 2009 match, I'm pretty sure that was strictly a friendly, and this is an actual competitive match. Is that right?
Yes.
So I'm not sure if you can actually equate the two, although at the same time, I guess you could argue that Barcelona wasn't even trying and beat them pretty badly.
That was my argument. Yes.
They're nowhere near the same level of play as these teams.
Oh, is these teams? I mean, no, but they were not necessarily they weren't embarrassed, first off. They definitely weren't embarrassed. And they were like there were moments where they looked pretty competitive against PSG, particularly at the end of the match.
How much do you think PSG is caring about these, though?
I mean, there is a lot of financial incentive to care. And these teams continue to start all their best players, which I think is like if you had to think of what the biggest
Did
concern about
Mbappe
this
play
was.
today?
Well, no, as he does not play for PSG.
Who does he play for? Real Madrid.
I think so, but he definitely does not play for PSG. Famously does not.
Who plays for PSG anymore?
Really, not that many famous players. I mean, that's the other difference here is like you look at the names on that Barcelona team, and it's like they had Messi and Thierry Henry, like, along with many amazing members of the Spanish national team, to
I
be
think I
clear.
probably knew that he transferred to Real Madrid, but that wasn't 2024.
But PSG just like does not have Dembele is probably their biggest name player, I guess. But they are an amazing team. They just dominated their way to winning Europe. They dominated Atletico Madrid in the opener of this tournament. And they dominated Atletico more, I think, than in some ways than they did the Sounders.
It's almost like they're fine owners from Qatar, just couldn't even afford these players.
I mean, I think they can afford whoever they want.
That's what I was going to say. The Sounders, after the Club World Cup, go right back
You know
into
who they can't
MLS.
afford is Christian Roldan.
For sure. Right back into MLS schedule with a key match Saturday hosting Austin FC, which is a team that exists. I kind of knew. I knew that one. The teams are tied with LA for fifth in the West on 26 points, though Los Verdes have played one more match. The Greens
Yes,
have
that's
played
Los Verdes.
one more
As we
match than
noted,
the
you didn't take
Sounders.
Spanish. I did.
And I took 3 years of Spanish too before I took 3 years of French.
Wow.
One more. Oh, you have more to say?
No, fifth talking taco time. Or fifth, fourth.
Fifth.
I don't. I did always
How
throws me
sick
off.
are you? You're adding.
Talking
Are
taco
you
time.
hallucinating talking taco time co-hosts?
Well, the guests are the fifth co-host.
I'm
The
seeing double
hosts are the
eight
host.
talking taco time co-hosts.
Talking Taco Time co-host Chris Smith once traveled to see the Sounders play
I
at
know.
Austin, you'll
I knew
recall.
that.
Well, this is why you knew that Austin had a team. Okay.
Seattle Reign FC. Last week, they beat the Utah Royals 4-1. They scored twice in the first 16 minutes with Ji So Yoon and Matty Dalian finding the net before Utah got one back in the 31st minute. Reign broke things open with two Emery Adames goals in the second half from the run of play in the 66th minute and a penalty in stoppage time. They head into the NWSL break now, sixth in the NWSL table, and in the same spot in goal differential, one clear of the playoff line.
Not bad. And Maria Adames, but not bad.
Husky men's basketball.
No, we got to do the storm.
Oh, there's
This
nothing there.
section
I got nothing.
is going to be tough. I'm going to
I
have to
can't
carry
just,
us.
I can't improv it.
But the storm are awesome now.
Oh, hello. Now, I feel like they've been pretty good all year.
I mean, they were 5-5 a week ago after losing to the expansion Golden State Valkyries, who keep winning, so maybe that's not so bad, but still. In the last week, beat the Las Vegas Aces in Las Vegas with Asia Wilson returning from a concussion. And then on Sunday, granted facing a New York Liberty squad that was pretty significantly weakened from the team that was undefeated to start the year, the last undefeated team, the defending champions, they were playing without three starters as Jonquil Jones out an extended period of time with an ankle injury. They're missing, they missed Sabrina Ionescu in this game with a neck injury. So, it wasn't the full strength Liberty, but with Ionescu out, Maureen Johannes stepped in the lineup and made her first, I believe, seven shots, including the trademark one leg running three pointer that she loves to make. So this was a very competitive game for 3.5 quarters. Storm pulled away down the stretch, and Nneka Nwumike was just too much. Skylar Diggins, too much. Gabby Williams in the last week has had her career high in steals, her career high in rebounds in Vegas, her career high in assists against New York. She had a point rebound double double, the first of her career against the Aces, a points assist double double against the Liberty, the first of her career. No player in WNBA history has ever done that. Your first point rebound double double, your first point assist double double in back to back games. Shout out
That's
to
not
Storm PR for that one.
4 of 16 shooting at the same time. And I think basically any time that you're beating Breonna Stewart, is this the first time that the Storm have beaten the Liberty with Stewie?
I think they got them. Huh? That's a great question. That, it might be because they played them very tough in 2023, but they probably wouldn't have actually beaten them last
So
year, did
a
they?
weekend that you look at where the Storm have beaten both the Liberty and the Aces to really hold Stewie. I mean, she played 37 minutes in this game, had to kind of anchor the offense, but to hold Stewie in a game where offensively it was more or less just her to 18 points is a pretty impressive effort.
Yeah, they had
Instead
lost
of
all seven meetings with Breonna Stewart
so
since she signed with the Liberty. I missed that in the moment. Kudos to you, sir.
availability aside, see people step up to the opportunity. You know what I mean? It's about the.
Wow.
It's about this is like the Stanford prison experiment.
Well, I thought you were going to say this is like Scoot Henderson now that Anfernee Simons is gone.
No, I don't. It's probably been widely discredited. Do not quote me on that.
If that has been discredited. I'm not sure on that one.
I think it's I'm just my gut tells me.
A lot of things have been discredited.
But even you look at Malanga coming off the bench, playing a solid 7 minutes, 3 of 5 shooting, 6 points. Like it was nice for her to get minutes. Gabby Williams, what she contributed. The Storm did not have monster performances from anybody outside of NECA. And it's kind of interesting to look at this moment where the Storm are 9 and 5, Liberty are 10 and 3 at this point. Nneka Nwumike outplayed Breonna Stewart in this game. I understand that it's a little bit more full health Storm, but you have to look at the season. And there was a thing that I was critical of the Storm, which was what is the timeline?
Right.
And now looking at the WNBA overall, understanding that there are going to be injuries, it's a pretty wide open league. It is the most wide open that it feels like it has been. I understand that the links have kind of elevated in a way that we weren't necessarily predicting 2 years ago or something like that, but
No,
there
I mean, people
definitely
thought the Storm were going to be better than the Lynx last year, for sure.
there are beatable teams across the WNBA. The Storm are probably still right after that top tier, but I wouldn't say that their chances of going to the champion to the finals are 0% at this point, given some of these games. So,
I mean, they beat the Lynx again. They've beaten both of the top two teams.
and
The Liberty are going to be
they
much
have
better when healthy.
they've beaten the Lynx, they've beaten the Aces, they've beaten the Liberty. You know, and that's kind of all you can ask from them at this
I
point.
mean, at this point, the Aces aren't even the team you mentioned here. They've beaten the Phoenix Mercury twice. And the Phoenix Mercury at 11-4 are third in the league right now.
I mean, the only team that they at the top that they haven't beaten is the Dream at this point. So,
Correct. They've only faced the one time.
But when you look
They
at
lost to
these
them at home.
three games in a row and how well NECA has been playing, some of the best of her entire career. The win against the Sparks, which is a huge win for the Storm in multiple ways. And then the Aces victory going into Vegas, the weekend Aces team, but over the weekend, back to back, beating these two teams who are still, I understand the links, but like they're still the teams to beat across the WNBA. And to have won both of those, one on the road, one at home, and fairly comfortably, it's pretty impressive. And then
The Indiana Fever come to town, Caitlin Clark. And sadly, my fever may prevent me from seeing Caitlin Clark.
wow, you're not going. Come on, you have to go.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm gonna make it for this one.
Is do they come back? They do.
They
They come back in
do.
August.
Seafair
Okay.
Sunday.
Oh, huge. That is like the only, you're the only person that that is a conflict for.
That is not the only person. A lot of
It's
people
like
go to Seafair.
the intersection of Storm basketball and Seafair colliding with each other.
There's a guy out there named Craig Montgomery, who I believe is a huge Storm fan and a huge Hydro fan.
Shouts to Craig Montgomery.
Don't know if he listens, but be kind of remarkable if he didn't. No,
If he,
if he didn't, given this pandemic,
I
damn.
would not assume it is remarkable for any person not to listen to this
Fair
podcast.
point. Fair point. Anyways, yeah,
But
and
the
the it's a strange time for the Fever. So Caitlin Clark came back a week ago Saturday. They handed the Liberty their first loss in a game where they did have Sabrina Ionescu, who were down two starters. And, she looked great her first two games. Then they went on the road and she can't make a shot. Specifically, she's 1 for 22 on three pointers in road games this season.
Well, sometimes she has people attacking her in those games.
No, that was at home where she's 44% from 3-point range.
not the fans.
I'm aware.
Okay.
That was at home.
But coming off a pair of losses, I mean, this is one that
They lost on
ultimately.
Sunday to the Aces in an interesting game. That was Vegas's probably most impressive win, other than beating the Storm.
Given how well NECA has been playing and the Storm in general, this is a game they should win.
Probably, but it's another test, I guess, is what I would put it. They're 1.5 point favorites in this one.
There's an awkward silence here for I got no more notes.
And then they wrap up the homestand on Friday, hosting the lowly Connecticut Sun, who are 2-11. Then Sunday, go back to Golden State for the second and final time this year, looking to avenge their loss a couple weeks ago that took them out of the Commissioner's Cup final.
They're going to beat the Valkyries. I'm just going to say right now, if you're not paying attention to the Storm, this is the time to start paying attention right now.
I
This is
agree.
like, it's the exact moment when you could claim to be. It was like the Mariners. Wait, what was the season? That one series that you started paying attention in 2022?
Oh, the
Was it?
Machaniger.
Yeah, that series. That was the last series you could have paid attention to have been like, I've been here. And you managed to get on board just for that
To
one.
be clear, in no scenario am I saying I've been here about the Seattle Mariners, other than in referencing the 1993 season, the year it all
Oh,
began.
well, you started paying attention before the 93 season.
Not really. I wouldn't count 92 at all.
Okay.
I was like reading the newspaper about what the Mariners were doing, but I would not consider myself a Mariners fan then.
An interesting thing that I've been listening to this Simpsons audiobook, Stupid TV, Be Funnier by Alan Siegel.
He's a friend of the pod, I think.
Okay. He works for The Ringer. I don't know if that makes him a friend of the pod, but.
I feel like we've interacted on social.
Great. That's all it takes. Jason Richardson, friend of the pod.
In what sense is unless he's enemy of the pod, he's definitely a friend of the pod.
There we go. Any person who's ever said, who the hell is Kevin Pelton, according to you, is a friend of the pod. They're just asking the question.
I mean, no, any publicity is good publicity.
That is a perspective.
Yeah,
Anyway, the thing about it was, it's funny, like looking back, I remember The Simpsons being a phenomenon, but just how quickly it happened, because that shit doesn't happen. You know what I mean? Like TV shows don't start as phenomenons, and it was instant. Because you watch like season one episodes and you're like, these are good, but they hadn't really figured it out. Like they didn't really figure it out. Like season two, kind of. But that it was like a phenomenon. and then got way better. And I
Yeah,
feel
because it
like,
was a show about Bart at the beginning, and then it became a show
yes.
about Homer.
And they went out of their way. This just almost never works. To go out of your way to be like, these things that we've been doing that have made us really successful, we're going to stop doing those things and still become more successful and a better TV show. Anyway, it was kind of fascinating to think about. Anyway, in Huskyman's
So this is
basketball,
like the Storm being number one in 3-point percentage after being last in the league last year.
we were all thinking it.
I do want to mention you pointed out Dominique Malonga's game on Sunday. Like the bench barely played in the second half on Friday, other than Alicia Clark, who finished the game instead of Ezzie Magbegar. And it was good to see Ezzie make some big plays down the stretch on Sunday, because I was starting to wonder whether we're going to have the conversation about whether Ezzie is going to want to be part of the 2026 Storm. But that's not a happy conversation. I don't want to have it, and we're not going to have it. But anyway, the bench
We've
was much
got
better
our
on
whole best
Sunday.
summer of our entire lives to live before then.
Great point.
So
You
Kyle
don't miss
Raleigh's
out.
gonna have like 75 home runs by the time we have to have that conversation. In Husky men's basketball news, Brandon Roy Jr. has committed to UW as a walk-on. The 6'2" guard played for his dad at Garfield. Is this how Lakers fans felt about Bronny?
I mean, no, because they did not have to use the number 55 pick on Brandon Roy Jr.
Use
I
the
or you're
number
saying the opposite.
55 pick. No, but what I'm saying is
You're saying the opposite, that
instantly.
like everyone is going to be obsessed with getting him into games.
Yes. That's not the opposite. It's the same. The opposite means something different, not the same thing.
Well, I was referring to it differently. My point was that like the Lakers' relationship with LeBron may have leveraged them into needing to use a potentially useful draft pick on LeBron, on
How.
Bronny.
I guess pick 55 is a valuable draft pick because it's better to have the player under contract than signing them as an undrafted free agent.
Marginally, I mean, it's fair. It's not a
What I
big
am
deal, but.
saying is that anytime Brandon Roy Jr. enters a game, I will be so excited about Brandon Roy Jr. entering that game.
I
So
mean, let's hope that we learn from the Bronny experience. I mean, obviously, the
they're
UW men's
not going to
basketball
play
fan
him that
base.
way. It's totally different. It is
I know,
like,
but UW men's basketball
Brandon
fan
Roy's
base.
not also on the team.
It's very true.
With these NIL deals, though, we never know. Oh, that was my guy complaining about sports. That was pretty good, right? Kids will be playing
But
until they're 50 in college.
like it's also kind of sucks to be the guy on the bench where everyone's chanting your name in a blowout game, or even better, worse yet, in a close game where you're obviously not going to play and they're
It
highlighting that you're not going to play.
sucks to be that. I'm gonna give you a counterpoint and say it doesn't.
I'm sure Bronny is just fine with things. I mean, I'm not weeping for him here. But I'm saying, I guess maybe it sucks more for JJ Redick. So maybe I'm saying what someone is think of Danny
Yeah.
Sprinkle.
Will somebody please think of the white coaches?
But what also it sucks for is the players who are on the court because of the fact that they have earned the right to be on the court, and all everyone wants to see is
This is not
Bronny.
what's going to happen with Brandon Roy Jr. He's going to play in
I
blowouts.
agree that is not what's going to happen. I'm just saying, let's not have that happen.
Look at Husky men's basketball, though. Sean Kemp Jr., Brandon Roy Jr.,
Alex Trempf.
Donald Watts. I don't remember Alex Shrimp at all.
He didn't play a lot.
Clearly, he didn't.
Think Michael Westfall was on the team for a
I feel
minute.
like this Pacers championship, because to us, or like to me at least, Dello Shrimp's a Sonic.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I think in most people's minds, Detlef Schrempf is a Sonic, but he's also a Pacer. Yeah.
But see, he's now like he is a Pacer during the Pacers run.
And also on Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, fair enough.
I
Anyway,
wanted to get off a joke about him coming over from whatever the name of the company was, Entertainment 360? Entertainment 360. But did not get that off.
right, Husky softball. Over the weekend, added left-handed pitcher Ryan Maddux, a transfer from Arizona. Pitched 43 and two-thirds innings as a redshirt freshman for the Wildcats, making seven starts after missing the 2024 season due to foot surgery. Big-time prospect who is the 2023 California Gatorade Player of the Year while playing with Alexis DeBoer at Clovis North. Huskies have not yet had any reported notifications of transfer, which is wildly different than a season ago. And this transfer signing with Ryan Maddux, I mean, already they have Alexis DeBoer, who is probably the best player on the team currently,
Oh, yeah.
but but to bring over a high school teammate as well. The DeBoer family keeps giving to Seattle,
It is
Washington.
amazing. Like I like was trying to piece together, okay, what? Well, I was curious because I went to Ryan Maddux's social media and noticed that there was a like retweets of Alexis DeBoer acolytes, and I was like, that's before, she had committed to UNO. I was like, that's kind of funny. And then I put it together, like, oh, it's because of the fact that they played together in high school. And think about it, she was on the same team as Alexis DeBoer and won state player of the year.
Oh yeah, better than Alexis DeBoer.
So
Think
that's pretty
about
wild.
this, the DeBoer family. Two near perfect seasons of football. Michael Penix Jr., all the receivers. And then after that, to have the wherewithal to move on in time for Damon Williams to be a Husky, literally everything that happened led to the greatest quarterback in the history of the sport being a Husky. You would not undo that timeline for anything right now. Also, Jalen Milroe's
Everything's coming up, DeBoer.
Seahawk. So, a perfect situation. When he's offensive coordinator under Jed Fish, it is going to be a perfect circle for the Huskies. I think that offense is going to be phenomenal with both of those coaches together, in my opinion. Plus Alexis DeBoer and now Ryan Maddux. All the entire thread traced all the way back to Kalen DeBoer. You gotta love to see it.
I mean, certainly number one, the difference in transfer outgoing transfers over the last 2 years does seem to suggest that whatever happened with the 2024 Huskies was contained to the 2024 Huskies, and it was not a reflection on the state of the program as a whole or Heather Tarr's coaching. So that's, very encouraging going forward, and the way that she's rebuilt this roster. Obviously, last year was a down year, but a somewhat younger team, and you bring everyone back and add a transfer like this. I'm very excited to see what we get in 2025. And the other piece of it is, look, Alexis DeBoer, we've known this all along. Alabama's a big time softball school. She could go there very easily anytime she wants. And she has repeatedly said, I'm where I belong. And it's very fun to say.
I mean, it's not a hard choice. Come on.
Okay.
You could be at the greatest setting in college softball. I assume they call it that.
It's a little less scenic, the Husky softball
It's
stadium,
not a
because
lot less scenic than Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I didn't say that. It's a little less scenic than the football stadium, just because you don't get as high to see out into Lake Washington and beyond. But it definitely is a wonderful setting. Unless, of course, you are watching the softball games from the football stadium, as is the only way we know, or I
No,
know at least.
I've been to games in the
Yes,
Husky.
we've disputed this.
In Husky football news, they unveiled new jerseys for the 2025 season. The most notable change is the addition of stripes on the jersey sleeves, which ESPN senior writer Kevin Pelton hates. The purple numbers
I
on the
don't
road jersey
hate.
now
They
trim to
just look
gold instead of white.
Vikings.
They're fine. I don't. It's. It was just like I looked at it and I was like, and they look mostly the same. I don't care.
I mean, I mostly am like, I am. Well, I'm not like this, but in this case, I am like this as I am to the schedule. And I'm like, people get so worked up about, oh, so and so is coming off a bye here, or they, have back-to-back home games here. And it's like, you know what? You can't say 841 home, 41 away in the NFL anymore because there's an odd number, but you do know that ahead of time. So it's whatever to me.
Okay, first off, the football schedule for the team down south is not fair. It is absurd, the schedule that they have had two consecutive years and the schedule that we have had to play those last two seasons. So I do not. The only good thing about it is that it led to them being completely and totally unprepared for the college football playoff.
Much like Kalen DeBoer's entire era led to Damon Williams Jr.'s quarterback for UW, Oregon's entire schedule last year led to the Rose Bowl outcome.
Honestly, like it was the best way for it to have happened. So, again, time is the greatest hater, but it's indisputable. But just looking at there is at Penn State. That is not an easy game.
No.
But to have missed Ohio State and Michigan in the schedule, and then even having Indiana at home is like, all right, come on. Road games are Northwestern, Penn State. which I'll accept. Rutgers, Iowa,
Iowa's not an easy road game.
and right here, the greatest setting in college football. I will
There you
tell you
go.
what is not an easy road game facing the best quarterback in the country. But I'm
Hey.
just saying, like, they are playing. Penn State might be the best team in the Big Ten, so they may have the hardest game in the Big Ten on the road. So I'll accept that one. And it's the first, or no, I guess they play Northwestern in random September Saturday, but it is like the week after they play Oregon State. So
You know, sometimes Northwestern can be tricky when the wind's blowing out, especially if it's 91 degrees. I mean, the whole heat stroke against at Wrigley Field on Saturday, like that is no joke. That is actually like a serious cause for concern, and thankfully everyone was all right. But you never want to see EMTs called onto the field multiple times during a baseball
right.
game.
Beyond that, UW Athletic Director Pat Chun told reporters the Huskies will divide the revenue-sharing NIL fund to players in football, men's and women's basketball, softball, and women's volleyball. The Big Ten standard has been 75% of that fund, which will be capped at $20.5 million during the upcoming academic year, to football with 15%, to men's basketball. Wait, let me read that. 75% to football, with 15% to men's basketball, 5% to women's basketball, and 5% to other teams. Presumably, that aligns pretty well with the revenue produced by those sports. Is that what the Huskies are going to do as well? Or is Pat Shun saying that they're going to
He
divide it
did
equally?
not delve into specifics, and those are not at this point subject to FOIA requests, so we will not know, but I think it's a reasonable guess that that's what they're doing.
It's going to be 75% to football.
They have Jed Fish has said 75% to football.
Of that 20.5 million. That's not
Correct.
the only money that is can be spent on NIL, though. Players
It
can still go
well
get sponsorship deals and third-party deals or
Correct,
whatever.
but what has changed now is those have to be based on kind of the value that they are providing. And there's a clearinghouse that is going to oversee this. And there's lawsuits involved with everything, so who knows how long it's going to last. But the idea is like it's still okay for, AZ FUD to do a national commercial for Under Armour through
Is
an
AZ
association
FUD
with
good,
Steph
by the
Curry.
way?
Yes.
I literally learned of her yesterday when I
How? You didn't
via
learn of her when
her
she.
relationship with Paige Bueckers. That's
I
how I
mean,
learned of
yes,
her.
but you didn't learn of her when she was the leading scorer in the national championship game.
Is she going back to UConn?
She is going back to UConn. Yes.
What class?
She. I mean, I'd have to look up. She has at least 1 year remaining. She maybe could have two, depending on injury waivers.
Okay.
There's a reasonable chance that AZ FUD is a member of the 2026 Seattle Storm. Given their
Wow.
draft picks.
Wow. Okay. Is she the, who is the clear number one?
There is no clear number one. There's a Spanish prospect that people are very high on. Flauge Johnson will be up there. Olivia Miles again. Lauren Betts from UCLA. So a lot to be settled next year. And AZ Fudd hasn't been healthy really at any point throughout her college career, but if she can put together a healthy senior season, she has the talent to be the number one pick. I don't think that's unrealistic. So
All right. Well,
yeah, so she's very good. You should have known about her a long time ago before she was sitting courtside to watch Paige Bueckers play. I mean, what did you were you alerted to the fact that she was wearing the a Mystics jersey belonging to their injured rookie Georgia Amore, and it was like awesome to see the support. Obviously, there's the ACL kind of shared history among those players, but you're sitting courtside and not wearing your girlfriend's jersey in the game that she's playing in. That was kind of funny.
I don't know. I think you're overthinking it.
I suppose so. I thought it was kind of funny. Anyways, so deals like that that return clear value commensurate to the following, especially on social media that players have, will be allowed. But, before the NIL was much more clearly like, this is money you are getting to perform and, from a collective. And that
They're
part of it
saying
no
it
longer
has to
exists.
look a little like a sponsorship now,
It,
rather than
yes.
just cash in pocket. That's the argument.
And then that funding that previously was being channeled through these donor collectives should now be funneled through the university in this NIL fund.
Any situation where you're setting up complicated rules for players receiving money means that teams are just going to break those rules.
Unquestionably.
That is my review of it, where it's basically like you have two options. Either there's no money from individuals going to players at all, right? I don't know exactly how you'd set that up because like individuals don't just pay money to professional athletes,
Thankfully not.
right? I mean, I don't know if there are specific rules against it, but
If I wanted to pay Kevin Durant to
like you could
play
just
for the
Venmo
expansion Sonics, yeah, I mean, there's no rule against it. Be
It
weird
just
on many levels.
doesn't happen. It's more of like a culture thing that they have to like get rid of. But anytime, so it's basically like you either have such strict contracts that it wouldn't make sense, I suppose, or you just let it be the Wild West the way it was. And like ultimately, having this, I feel like they're maybe accidentally setting up the exact same shit as they had before with
Very
now a
plausible.
budget, which is still better for the players. I'm not saying that it's not better for the players, but the punishment piece of it, I think, is going to be still so extraordinarily hard to try to
And
enforce
it's
as the
all now
NCAA.
subject to lawsuits. So whether the NCAA could actually, affect the eligibility of a player for taking money in an inappropriate NIL deal seems unlikely to me.
Just as long as Reggie Bush doesn't sign any autographs, we're okay with it.
All right,
The
well, there we go.
but
We make it through.
I think we made it through.
I gotta be honest. I don't know about your ability to compile notes, but your ability to read them and serve as host is quite good.
There we
And
go.
maybe even was better because I got to react off of you in a way that I can't
Wow, did we
react
just
when
change
I
the
read
whole
the notes.
podcast?
The pronunciations, that is what it is. But
You finally got to realize what it was like to be me. So you were paying no attention when I was talking at the Sounders because you weren't even in the room.
that is true.
You're gonna
I
have to go
left.
listen back to like 4 minutes of dead silence. And then I just decided to start doing the Sounders section.
I couldn't tell when I walked back in whether it was a bit that you were doing it or you were doing it for real,
Oh
but it
no, I
turned
was
out it
just
was
like,
for
I'm
real.
just ready to move on here.
You just want to get to bed.
You weren't, you have no idea how I pronounce Rushnak.
Oh no.
How long are we at for this podcast? Has it been long enough?
It's I hope so. I don't know, man.
By
We're going to
review.
talk about cookies next week. I'm guaranteeing that on this
Wow.
podcast
Illness be damned.
because I'm going to cover the Lenny Wilkins statue unveiling,
You're
and
going to
I
be
will
like, it tastes
go.
like nothing. I do not taste this
It
cookie.
is definitely not soft
They
enough to be Seattle's
stopped
best cookie.
making the Yankee candles have smells.
I will go get cookies at one of the two locations we need to get to before that event. I am promising it right now on this very
Wow.
podcast.
Wow. I'm always a fan. You just tell me a place. I'll go get cookies.
Okay.
I've been to the city of Seattle numerous times.
Really, it's not Ellensburg. It's not your favorite haunt, North Bend.
I think that got to Ellensburg was like number six on my rankings. And I will say, I think it kind of went up this weekend.
Well, congrats to Luka, MVP of the bullpen tournament. What was the name of it?
They call it the bullpen series. It was like best of the West or something, if the West includes just teams from Western Washington and maybe Eastern Washington, and not even the best ones of them.
I mean, honestly, it should only be Taco Time Northwest locations. That's how they should define it.
That would affect the O-Town Bombers, though.
Wait, should we, by the way, should we mention quickly before we go here? This ridiculous thing that someone slapped in In-N-Out coming 2026 sign in Ballard and people took it seriously.
It's street art. It's not like.
Whether it was or whether that was the intent or whether it was trolling people took it seriously. And I want to wager on the record on where the next northern location of In-N-Out will be.
You have an actual. This is a bold prediction.
Yeah.
This would have been. If you would have saved this
Remember that in 6 months.
for the year end, if you would have dropped that bomb for the first time and been like, I'm boldly predicting
Man.
where that the next In-N-Out location will be announced this year and it'll be in X City, that would have blown my fucking mind
I agree. I
as a
don't
bold
know what the
prediction. That would
timeline
have
is.
been the greatest bold prediction that either of us had ever made. We're always just like, oh, Russell Wilson's going to be MVP. You know what I mean? And then you would have been like, bam, straight up.
Chehalis. I'm calling it
Wow.
right now. I'm calling my shot. Chehalis.
Chehalis is the place.
I could see it being Kelso. Kelso's a reasonable possibility, but I think they're going to go a little bit farther north and they're going to go all the way to
I
Chehalis.
like how analytical you are about this.
I've thought about this.
That's incredible. Well, as you know, I spend a lot of time in Chehalis now, so
You endorse. And you spend a
I've
lot of time getting burgers when you're at these tournaments.
that is true, and I would probably have enough time to, man, Chehalis is a hike. I guess not as far as we have to go now, but wait, so has there already been one announced in Washington
Yes,
State?
Ridgefield is opening at
Ridge,
some point in
it is
2025.
Ridgefield. Okay.
Yes.
To me, I think of that as kind of Kelso, but I think you're probably right that they're basically like, what's the point of going to Kelso
If you're already in Ridgefield,
if you're already
yeah.
in Ridgefield? Like, those people can travel that distance. What is the year if you're boldly predicting things? Or because
All right, here's the
there's
real
no
question.
Portland in and out,
In and
right?
out north of Ridgefield, yes, because there's one in a western suburb is coming soon. Which for is first, in and out north of Ridgefield or the Sonics return?
Return announce, or they play a game,
Play again.
and the built the in and out is open.
Oh, they're proposing a location near the airport in Portland. Huh. I missed that news. That was in January.
I think the Sonics play a game first. Well, north of, how
They're
about
going to
Seattle area?
Gresham.
Seattle area.
Oh, Seattle area. It definitely Sonics before Seattle area.
Okay, but
I mean,
north
not
of,
definitely, but.
I still think it's Sonics.
Yeah.
Wow, the con we're gonna look like such idiots if we look back at this and the team just never happens.
Oh,
Is
we're
there
good.
scuttle? Is there scuttle in the back end?
There's scuttle on the front end.
But are people on the back end being like, this done?
No, but there's scuttle on the front end.
Okay. Have you ever
I
tried to
know.
talk to Jan about this? She's just like, there'll never be a team. And I'm like, Jan, it's happening. Like, cool off. Wait, I had one more. How long do you think it'll be before it is not interesting to go to In-N-Out anymore?
Oh, good question. Never.
You're so wrong. You're so wrong. You're, oh.
I mean, I have in-laws in California, in the LA area now.
My naive summer
Do
child.
you think they are not interested in going to In-N-Out? Like it becomes routine, or it's not, or like it's like
It's not
passé.
not special. Not that it's never
Okay.
not going to be good, but that it's not special.
Okay, because I agree it is not special to get Chick-fil-A at this point. I mean, obviously there's a lot of other reasons that go beyond that that make it not special to get Chick-fil-A, but its availability.
It's happened to everybody. Let me just say, In-N-Out, if you think you're different, you're not. Time is the greatest hater, but it's happened to
But
Sonic.
that
It's
doesn't mean
happened to,
they're unsuccessful. Like Chick-fil-A is still doing great in South
I'm not
Center.
saying that they're unsuccessful, but the brand is a little hurt by it. Availability makes something less interesting. I'm sure that they don't care the point of capitalism. I just thought In-N-Out was better than this. I almost don't want it. Because
Wow, this is
the
the worst
product
take.
tastes better because, no, you know this better than I do. What is the
Because you're
thing that
going
we
when it's
love to do
sunny?
the most? No, not because you're going because it's sunny, because you're going because it's hard to get. You can't have it all the time. The thing that
We
you and
love a
I love
steak.
the most is the complicated food to attain.
I don't know if I would go that far.
Food tastes the best when it's complicated.
I think sometimes there is, we've talked about a trade-off. We talked about this with the donut place, which now I'm forgetting the name.
Good lazy?
N no, the original, the one
Flower box?
yes.
Okay.
That if Flower Box opened up a bunch of different locations, the quality would inevitably go down. And I don't think that's the case with In-N-Out.
I'm not so sure about that.
I have not noted that in my In-N-Out experiences.
Voodoo Donut was the same way. I would like, I'm like, I guess I'd have a donut. It's fine.
I agree it would become not special. Yes, I concede that point.
Here's what I'll say. The more available something is, the higher quality it has to be. It has to stand more above the fray, and I'm a little concerned. In-N-Out is good.
You know that, like, we went to, I mean, I don't know, maybe you didn't. I multiple times went to Cali Burger to get like knockoff In-N-Out
That's
burgers.
because there isn't an In-N-Out here.
Yeah, but I'm saying I
Oh, did I tell
still.
you about the like knockoff In-N-Out that I went to in
Yes.
like Tacoma area? Did we talk about that on the podcast?
I don't know.
What is
I
that
think that
place
was
called?
a I think that was an offline conversation.
Was it called East West Burgers?
But I'm saying if you're willing to do that, you're willing to.
You're willing to do that because you don't have one here. And
But I'm
I'm.
saying I would still go to the In-N-Out repeatedly. Like, obviously, the knockoff is not going to be as good a quality. It's called Out and About Burgers in
Out and
Puyallup.
about. I was in Puyallup, huh?
Know, in classic PeltonCast geography, you don't
I
even
know I
know. You
wasn't.
don't.
I'm remembering now I was in Puyallup. I just have been. When you go to so many places throughout Western and mostly Southern Washington, that many weekends, they kind of start to run together.
Are there two different locations in? Okay. Huh.
My review of it was fine. Like, I think that's the thing. Maybe I've fallen out of love with an In-N-Out burger, but like, if there was a Dick's there, I would have chosen Dick's instead of that. I'm actually way in on Dick's burgers right now. Just a cheeseburger. I never used to like really love the cheeseburger, but now I'm like Dick's cheeseburger is I would eat a million of those.
It's really nice if you have a deluxe NHR cheeseburger because they're just very complimentary in
Out and
terms of the
about burgers
sauces.
though, like how about this? This AI overview. It says that Chet Holmgren is Mike Holmgren's son. Some users find the burger's taste. The thing about the AI overview is it's literally just like Google searches compiled. And I'm like, why does it's not AI? Like, you wouldn't call a Google search AI, right? AI is branding.
Of
Some
course.
users find the burgers tasty and reminiscent of In-N-Out's flavor, though some mention the fries can be greasy or overcooked. Same with In-N-Out, if we're being honest with ourselves.
Of course.
If I was in Puyallup, I wouldn't go back there. Not because of the quality of the burger, like it's fine, but I'm just like, it was fine.
Okay. All right, I
So.
am still sick. I need to go to bed, get my rest.
And on
So.
that note,
It's not because we're feuding. Thanks for listening.
but we are feuding.
I mean, yes, that's
Thanks.
just unrelated.
Manage things for a living, and that's what I'm doing right now, sir.
Are you?
No, sorry, I didn't modulate my voice correctly enough. That's what I'm doing right now.
No one said you had to show no emotion. It's just you want a limited range because when you
Excuse
go
me,
high and then low.
I think your range is getting a little bit of out of you're getting into the red range
Good.
wise. That was really close to interesting. You have to stop right now.
When are we going to actually start the podcast?
Wait, okay, so are we going to talk about the Blazers trade
Yes.
post podcast or during the podcast?
Let's
Post
do a
podcast?
post podcast.
Okay. How about right now?
Okay.
Because we're post podcast. I was like, I got the notification about it, and I was like, Jrue Holiday got traded two. I'm seeing double four crusties. Like, Jrue Holiday is back with the Blazers.
I found out about it from somebody in the Dunked On group chat, the not technically the Malaga off-season group chat, but similar, saying, what you doing,
His
Blazers?
name is Danny LaRue. You can say his name.
You know, I didn't want to call out the specific member of the group chat. Could be any of us. It could have even been me.
What you doing, Blazers? They didn't like that trade.
I did not like that trade for the Blazers.
Are they trading for Jrue Holiday to play Jrue Holiday, or are they trying to trade him again?
They're training for Jrue Holiday to play Jrue Holiday. Yeah.
Are the
The
Blazers
Blazers.
going all in on 2025, 26?
I mean, they're not going all in. They have not given up any of their draft picks besides the one they still owe Chicago from the trade for Larry Nance Jr., I'm pretty
So
sure.
they literally, what did they get in return from Boston for Jrue Holiday?
They got Robert Williams the third and two first round picks, I believe.
Did they turned
One
at
of
least
them,
to Denny, right?
one was part of the Denny Obdia. Yeah, no, actually, I think it might have been the two picks that they sent in the Denny Obdia trade, but I'd have to double check that.
So they turned Drew Holiday into Drew Holiday.
No, they turned Drew Holiday and Anfernee Simons into Drew Holiday and Denny Obdia, which actually is that's a pretty good deal if you think about it that way, I
If it's
suppose.
just
And
a
Robert
swap
Williams.
of Simons for Denny
I mean,
Avdia.
Denny is awesome. Like that trade, there should be no complaining about.
Minus 2 years of age of Drew Holiday.
Right. Yes, that'd probably be in the key part here.
Is the thinking that the Drew Holiday is going to mentor Scoot, kind of, or?
I think there will be an element of that, but I think the main thinking is that they're going to try to win as many games in 2025-26 as they think they can.
So, okay, what is the lineup then? What did you grade these? Who did you bestow a B plus on?
Nobody got a B plus here.
Wow. Do you intentionally not give B pluses now because people
Absolutely not.
complain?
I give a B plus to the Rockets for the Kevin Durant trade.
Was a solid B plus for you.
Oh yeah, I mean, I put it in the Discord. I did the thing.
Well,
I
good
know,
for
actually, I
you.
believe I put in there. He said the line.
He
I
said the
believe,
line. This is the
yes.
B plus. What did you give the Suns for that one?
B.
Okay. I saw that and I don't know enough about Jalen Green to have any opinion on the trade. But I just, to me, Durant kind of feels like poison. He's like one of those players that has gotten to the place where it's just like, I don't think things are going to go super well for you if you have Kevin Durant on your team now. Am I wrong about that?
No, but I do think the place that he makes the most sense is Houston, because the main reason things are not going to go super well for you is Kevin Durant makes a lot of money, and
And they
like
have cheap players.
he's still very good, but he's not one of the very best players in the NBA anymore. But Houston has many players who are worth more than their rookie contracts, so he fits well there.
What? Okay, so the Blazers, what did you give them for this trade?
A C minus.
Ooh. Does Simons have value? Because I feel like they would have tried to have traded Simons.
I do think part of the reason that this deal looks the way it is in terms of the second round picks in the deal are going to Boston rather than going to Portland here is because Simons did not have that much trade value.
How many years are left on Drew's deal?
He has 3 years remaining.
Oh, God, that's kind of a lot. How old is Drew?
He is 35. So his last year of the contract, which is a player option for $37.2 million.
Done. I'm reporting right now. He has accepted that option.
I mean, there's a scenario where the Blazers could negotiate the dunked on special, where the Blazers could negotiate a smaller, longer term contract with him instead. So I won't guarantee he picks it up.
That is a pretty curious one, but it's not a salary dump in terms of Simons.
Not exactly, I wouldn't say. I
I
mean,
mean,
they could have just let him walk after the season. He only has 1 year left on his contract.
when I
And they would have had
saw
cap space next
so they're
summer.
yeah, but what does that cap space mean? Anything?
But then you get someone like Drew Holiday. That's what cap space means.
Well, they think they can win a little bit more next year.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be trying to win more next year. Where, like, I mean, could
Why
they maybe
shouldn't they
make the
though?
playoffs as the seventh or eighth seed? Because
Oh, they're making the playoffs.
They
Don't
should
you
be trying
think?
to win when their good players are at their best. Or when their young players are at their
Can the
best.
Blazers two timelines it? I mean, it's not even two timelines
They
because Drew
don't have
Holiday
it.
isn't good enough to be a timeline. The timeline
Correct.
is too Monte Kamara. We know.
Or Denny Avdia.
What do you think the people of Portland would say that the timeline is? Is there anybody who thinks it's Scoot and Shaden, or are we actually right that it's too
No, I
Monty?
think most people think that. Kamani and Tumani are Kamani and
Come
Tumani.
on.
Avdija and Kamara are their two best players. There are definitely Scoot believers out there.
But like, okay,
Is there should be?
let's say that they do make the playoffs next year. They get a little whiff of it. The young players develop, and then Drew is probably valuable for one more season after that, but like he's ready to take a different role, and Scoot is ready to take a step forward. Kamara is like all star. Denny is an all star. Like
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's all remain calm here.
Oh, Tumani should have been an all-star last year, but like, is that unheard of? Is that too rosy thinking?
No, it's just that like Scoot by the last year of Drew's contract will be on his extension. You could be paying, Scoot 30 plus million to start at point guard and Holiday 30 plus million to back up at point
It's
guard.
1 year though. I don't think that's the bit that big of a deal because they're not going to be able to spend the money anywhere else.
Of course, they could spend the money somewhere else. The
They're
Celtics are
not
not
going.
going to be the last team in the history of this CBA who needs to dump money. I'm
You're
quite
saying
confident of that.
they could have sat around and just waited for another salary dump on a better player than Holiday or a younger player.
Right.
All right. But if they make the playoffs next year, and they, let's say that they are, they're, let's say they don't even, they're not even in the play-in. Is that a possibility?
It's a possibility, but the West is really good. I don't know if you're aware of this. All the good teams are in the West. Have you
Why does
noticed?
that happen? It's
Have
kind
you
of
noticed that the
crazy.
Thunder are in the
It is
West?
like we're gonna get an expansion team, and it's just like it's such a fuck you. It's just like, here you go. Welcome to the conference that has been good for literally 2 decades straight or more. Why is the
And
East not good? How is that possible?
the like one of the most seismic things of expansion, if it happens, is which team, presumably the Timberwolves, gets to go to the East?
You think that the Wolves will? Because it the obvious one feels to me like
I guess the Grizz?
no, the Thunder.
No, they wouldn't move them to the East.
Why?
Because they're not as far east as Memphis. I don't know what to tell you on that one.
Okay, fair enough. I had the feeling where I was like, I'm going to be really upset if the Thunder win the championship, and then the Thunder win the championship, and I was like, I actually don't care at all. The great thing about it is, first off, doesn't matter. Second off, nobody cares about the games in basketball. So literally all this other stuff I feel like has gotten even more into, like, they won the championship, but it was like, yeah, Kevin Durant got traded, and then Jrue Holiday got traded the next day. The games don't matter. Everybody knows that. That's why you have a job.
Mom said to me today, so you're not as busy now, huh? Right now that the season is over. And I'm like, come on, mom, you've known me for a long time,
Chan, you
you
know
should
that
know.
he doesn't watch the games. People tell him all the time on the internet. Oh, Lord. And on that note,
Thanks for listening.
thanks.